Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 1. 1 Samuel in chapter 1. I do want to remind everyone again about Friendship Sunday, which is our third potluck Sunday for this month on the 15th. There's invitation cards in the back. Let me encourage you to take as many of these as you would like. Hand them out, mail them however you would like, but please take part in that and get the invitations out. We hope to have several visitors in our audience on that day, plus we hope to have our members here as well. Please remember that in your prayers as we look forward to that special day. You remember last Sunday, we talked about a woman who did what she could. You remember the anointing of Jesus and Mary. And there were those there who criticized Mary because they thought the money could be used for another purpose. But Jesus defended the woman, and one thing he said about her is she's done what she could, which I think is a powerful testimony for a person, especially coming from the lips of Christ. And it would be a wonderful testimony about us as well if the Lord would say that on our final day. I'd like for us to consider another woman in the Bible, and then of course we'll do a third one next week on Mother's Day. But I think these three women have valuable lessons for us, and their example is a powerful one and can help each and every one of us, man or woman, in our service to God. And our record is coming from 1 Samuel, and the title that is given to this lesson, A Promise Kept. A Promise Kept. This has to do with the woman Hannah. Her story is given, at least the part we're going to be looking at is in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Elkanah was her husband, and there was another woman involved as well. He had two wives, and Peninnah, he had children, sons and daughters, but through Hannah, he did not have any. The Bible says the Lord had closed her womb, but he deeply loved Hannah. Every year, the Bible tells us they'd go up to Shiloh to make a sacrifice. And of course, in making this sacrifice, it'd been animal sacrifice, and portions of the meat would be left over for the consumption of those that were involved. And the Bible tells us that he would give to his one wife that had the children enough for them, but also to Hannah, he would give a double portion. And it says because he loved her, but the Lord had closed her womb. This is in verse 5. Another thing that's kind of added to the situation here is evidently her rival, the other woman, was very bitter toward her and would irritate her because she had not had any children. It was considered during this time, of course, to be a great and wonderful blessing among the women of Israel to have children, not only one child, but many children. And also, they had the belief that if a woman did not have children, then that was God's punishment for something. And so this was the sort of like the story of Job. And this is the reason perhaps why she was being ridiculed and mocked so harshly. Seems like almost a contradiction in terms, because the Bible speaks about them going up year to year to this place of worship. And evidently it was at that time also in which she would bring forth her ridicule. Something for us all to think about in regards to our relationship with Almighty God and with each other. Elkanah said, you know, why are you so sad? She would go up to the house of worship and she would weep bitterly. She would not eat, and she would pray to God. And he said, why are you so sad? Have I not been better to you than 10 sons? And I guess there's a great truth in that, but also perhaps there's a truth that Elkanah was not being as perhaps as sensitive to her case as perhaps he ought not to be. I suppose us husbands have been charged with that from time to time.
John, you're
sounds like it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not turned up as much as it should be. If y'all can't hear, someone would like to adjust it, that would be fine. And then we notice here in this passage also in chapter 1 that she made a vow, and her vow had to do with her with being childless, and she was asking for a child, and of course, we see later on in the text that the child was given. But she said that if you give me a child, I'll dedicate that child to the Lord. And of course, that was fulfilled by her. She went to the place of Shiloh. She was in prayer, and as she was praying, the Bible tells us that I think she was doing what at least I do a lot, and I suppose many of us do. She was praying in her heart, but she was kind of mouthing the words with her lips, but was not being heard, was not loud enough to be heard. And so Eli, who was the priest there, thought that perhaps she was drunk and acting like a foolish woman. She assures him that she was not, but tells her what was on her heart and the reason that she was acting the way that she was, and he gives her a blessing. They go back to their home. This family was from the tribe of Ephraim, and they lived into the tribe of lived in the town of Ramah. So they go back home, and sure enough, she has relationships with her husband, and they bring forth this son, and the son's name is Samuel. Now, of course, you have 1 and 2 Samuel, these books in our Bible, and if you know anything about Samuel, you know he was a great prophet of God. And this was his beginning. It was the beginning of a woman praying for a child and God answering that prayer. And very early on in his life, while still a child, he was dedicated to the service of the Lord, and he was left there at Shiloh for special religious training. And chapter 2 is, half of the chapter anyway, is Hannah's song of thanksgiving to the Lord for answering her prayers. It's a prayer of joy and thanksgiving, great hope found in that prayer. You know, every once in a while we have a long prayer recorded for us in the Bible, or a long song recorded in the Bible, and usually there's good reason for that, because they're very uplifting. Something very devotional about them. And I think this one also is that way. It's a very beautiful song, and one, Hannah's song, one deserves to be read over and over again, and from which we can glean, I think, many, many lessons. Part of the beautiful story regarding Hannah and Samuel that she left up at Shiloh to be trained is the fact that every year she kept coming up to Shiloh. And every year the Bible says she would bring the child a little robe. And so as the child grew, she would provide another robe for the child. This is found over in chapter 2 as well in verse 19. And then we find out that Hannah had other children, 3 sons and 2 daughters. That's in verse 21. I've been thinking about, you know, this lesson as I've, you know, last week thinking about, you know, lesson from women and concerning Mother's Day. And really I had started that first lesson with that not being the plan. But, you know, Lenora said, "Well, is it Mother's Day?" Because I was preaching on Mary last week and she has done what she could. And I said, "No, they're not yet." And then I started thinking, well, perhaps we can have a couple more lessons from well-known women in the Bible that might be helpful to all of us to study their lives. Hannah, you can see why I entitled it the way that I did. A promise kept. If you'll just give me a child, I'll give him to the Lord. You know, it's one of those kind of times in our life when we're just desperate. I think I've never watched this show before, but I was reading about it as I was preparing this lesson. In 1994, there was a show that came out, Desperate Housewives. And as I understand from reading the description of it, it has a little bit of comedy in it and also drama in this show. And you think about Hannah, she is a desperate housewife. And she was desperate because she didn't have any children. And she was desperate because she was being persecuted for that, mocked and ridiculed. And it brought her a great deal of sadness in her life. And what else could a desperate housewife do but turn to the Lord? At least this one did, and that's a very good sign for all of us. And when she made that promise, you know, sometimes when we're really desperate and we're in great need of the Lord and we're going through difficult times, we'll promise the Lord almost anything if he'll get us out of it, right? But oftentimes when he gets us out of it, we forgot about the promise we made. Not true with Hannah. Hannah made the promise, and even though it was a very difficult thing to do, a hard promise to fulfill, she did it. And that's to be said to her credit. She kept her promise. Now think about Hannah, and there are several lessons that come to mind from this wonderful woman of faith. And there's a lot of different ways, I suppose, to look at it, and we're going to look at it in several different ways. I think there's great application for our life. You know, she had problems. There's no doubt about that. But what person of faith, man or woman, doesn't have problems? You know, problems don't go away just because we're people of faith and because we love God and because we come every Lord's Day and worship the Lord and we keep ourselves in the Word of God and we read it and we sincerely try to do what's right in our life. We try to set a good example. That doesn't mean problems are going to go away. That's going to help an awful lot. And perhaps some problems that we would have had will go away, but it doesn't mean we're going to be without problems. I think sometimes we have this false notion about Christianity, you know, all roses and no thorns. In fact, the truth of the matter is, because we are people of faith, we may have more problems than people that don't have any faith. There's sort of a rub with the world. You know, if you're just going along with the world and doing everything the world does and you're not a person of faith, well, that's pretty easy, you know, just kind of roll with the flow and go with the stream. But if you stand for God and if you have faith, then there's controversy. Then there's a contrast, a conflict. It makes it more difficult for you. You remember, of course, that the Lord told His own disciples that if your master goes through these problems, if they hate your master, what about those who follow him? Do not expect to be an exception to the rule. It's not that God doesn't love you. In fact, the Bible tells us that the ones that He disciplines, He loves. Just like a father or mother will discipline their children. And sometimes we go through difficult things in our life and we cannot see the hand of God in it at that time, but the hand of God is in it, and His providence and His work. And oftentimes when we go through those difficult times, not only is it changing circumstances around us, not only is it changing people that we have to deal with, but it also is changing us. And God is interested in that. He's always interested in changing us. But if we just give up and we kind of throw up our hands and say, because we're having problems, then I'm out of here, I'm not going to serve God, you're not really giving God a chance to work on you, to bring you through that problem, and to strengthen you in the things He wants to strengthen you in. This woman had great problems. She was a desperate woman. And so she does what she does. And one of the things that she does is every year she goes up to Shiloh to the house of worship. She goes with the family. It would be very easy, because she was going through this distress, to say, well, what's the use? How many years have I been praying to God for children? How many years have I put up with this abuse and this mocking, and God hadn't done anything about it, and just not go? But instead she went. And that's to be said to her credit. You know, when we have problems, where we need to be is in the house of God. And I know the house of God is the people. Understand that. And I understand that this is where we meet. We meet in this building, but we're the house of God. But we should not forsake the house of God because we're having problems. In fact, because we're having problems, we should do all the more that we can to be here and to overcome those obstacles and those circumstances, and say, the last thing I want to do is miss the assembly of the saints together. That is my strength. And I think she knew that was her strength, and she kept on doing it. Problems didn't keep her from that. I think about her and her prayers. Problems didn't keep her from praying either. And not having her prayers answered and what she thought was the right time schedule didn't keep her from praying. She kept on praying. I think she understood, and I think when you see the circumstances that she's going through and put the whole story together, you see this woman, Hannah, and I think you have to say about Hannah is that Hannah, she understood that she wasn't the one in control of things, and that the one in control of things, you know, always knows best. I can't tell you how many times in circumstances that I've been in, and I'm sure you can say the same thing, that if it was up to me and I had the power to do it, I would get out of that circumstance right now. I would not stay in another moment, but God kept me there for a reason. And in the end, it proved to be the best. You don't always get your way, but God is working.
He's working in us and he's working in others. We have to trust him in that. And I think Hannah was that kind of woman. She's coming up and she's praying to God about it. She understood she didn't know always what was best, but she understood the one that did. And she wouldn't stop praying. Let people ridicule and mock her, demean her, talk about her life perhaps not being right, and that's the reason she's in the condition that she's in. Go ahead, say what you want to say, but I'm praying before the throne of the person who can do something about my circumstances, and I'm not going to give up doing that. That's to be highly praised. We all do the same thing. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. That's what the Bible says. Certainly it does. One of the things that impresses me about, you know, about Jesus, besides all his teaching and besides all of his wonderful miracles, sometimes we forget that what a person of prayer he was. And so when you read in his ministry, you'll find Jesus, the Bible says he would go off to be by himself so he could pray. Surrounded all the time by people who had needs, the people that were coming to him and wanting some help. And he would still find time to go off and be by himself so that he could pray. And sometimes he would even spend all night in prayer. And who can forget about the Garden of Gethsemane as he fell on his knees prostrate before the throne of God and that sweat that dropped from his forehead like great drops of blood. But he was praying to the one that could handle the situation. If it be possible. Isn't that what he said? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So, as we would say about Hannah, he was praying to the one who could do something about the situation, and he was also praying to the one whom he knew what was best. Not my will, but thine be done. And what a great work, what a great powerful work was done here by God. Didn't look like it at the moment, but look what came out of it. A man like Samuel, and look at the great fruit that was born in his life. You know, anytime you as a Christian help another person to come to the Lord, you never know what that Lord is going to produce through that person, what Lord is going to produce through him or her. It may be years and years and years of service and wonderful fruit that is born. And that's the way it was with this particular woman. She faced her problems the way that you need to face problems. It's not a matter if we're going to have problems or not, or how severe they're going to be. It's how are you going to face them? And how is she going to face them? She's going to face them by being at the house of worship. She's going to face them by being a person of prayer. She's going to keep that up. And when we do that, we're doing a good thing. I'll tell you something else about Hannah. It's kind of hidden here between the lines as you read this story. But Hannah was very much concerned about her example. Eli looks down at Hannah, and Hannah is weeping and she's praying, and her lips are moving, but he's not hearing anything. He thinks, well, this woman's had too much to drink already today. She's not sober. And she says, please, when you look at me, don't look at a person that you think is a worthless person that would come up to the house of God and drink himself drunk. I'm not that person. And she wanted Eli to understand that and to know that. And she explained to him what she was doing there. Hannah was a person that was so much concerned about her influence, her example, her words, her life, and the impression that it would leave on other people. And that's the way we have to be. And sometimes it really brings us to our knees because oftentimes we realize that we're not the example that we ought to be. But I think that's good because it moves us in the right direction to do better in the future and to be a better example than what we are. Jesus told his disciples, you know, you're the light of the world and you're the salt of the earth. And that's quite a responsibility to put on a group of people. But it's a responsibility he put on them to realize the importance of your life and what you do and what you say. And it's not only in our family, even though that's very, very important, in our families with our children, if we're raising them and with our mate that we live with, but also among your brothers and sisters and people who are on the outside of the family, the church. What kind of example do we leave behind? What kind of impression do we make? She wasn't setting a bad example at all. In fact, if everything was known, Eli would say, that's a good example of faith and courage. You're a very righteous woman. But he didn't know all the facts, did he? If he knew all the facts, I think he would have thought that way. And so she straightened him out on it. Here's the truth of the matter. Sometimes, you know, we're too quick to judge, aren't we? Not all judgment is wrong. We know that. The Bible talks about a righteous judgment, but the Bible also condemns a hypocritical judgment. You know, the log that is in your eye where you're trying to get the speck that is out of your brother's eye, that type of judgment, Matthew 7. And oftentimes our judgments are wrong because we're simply too quick to judge. And it may be that we have bad feelings about that person anyway, so we take advantage of any opportunity that we have to criticize them or to put a bad, you know, a bad reflection on what they're doing. And I think this was true with Eli concerning this woman. You know, you're judging her too quick. She's not drunk at all. This woman is a righteous woman. She's a woman of faith. We're going to have a great deal of influence in our life one way or the other. We all leave some imprint in the sands of time. And what is that imprint going to be like? What are people going to remember? I think God has given us life. He's given us every day. But you know what? He's given you more than that. Because he gave you the ability to leave an imprint, to make an example, he also leaves you days after you're gone that people are going to remember. Do you ever think about that? God leaves you with that. And he leaves you with something that is very powerful, because if you do what is right, if you stand for what is right, people that are close to you and people that love you, and perhaps even people that you're not aware of, you have an influence on, long after you're gone, they're going to think back and they're going to think about you. And they're perhaps are going to say something like, you know, that person was always a person that was kind. Or, you know, that person was a person that always spoke the truth. That person was an honest person. Or maybe like we did last week, you know, that person did the best they could. I think there's a great deal of power in our life, even after we're gone, especially if we live it for the Lord and do what is right. Of course, we can go the other way with that. But not Hannah. Hannah was a good example. Hannah was a type of woman that could find a great deal of comfort in what God's message had to say. As soon as Eli found out the truth, you know what he said to her? As soon as he found out the truth, he says, "May God grant your petition." Gave her a blessing. You know what the Bible says about her response to that? It says that she went home and she was no longer sad. And all she had heard was that one statement from Eli. She'd been on her knees praying. Of course, she'd been weeping. She'd not been able to eat. You ever have something you're so distressed about that it causes you to lose your appetite? And you weep about it and you pray before God. That's the way she was. And she hears this one word from Eli where Eli says, "May God grant your petition." And when she goes home, she's not a sad woman anymore because she's heard the word of the Lord. Faith can do that. It takes away our discouragement and our pitiful plight that we find ourselves in. Regaining the appetite, the tears stop flowing. Sometimes it takes a while, and I think it took a while for Hannah. I mean, she stayed in prayer. You have to work through things sometime, you know. You do it with the Word of God, and you do it in prayer, and you just keep on praying. You keep on talking to God about it because you don't have the answers. But sometimes when you get up off your knees, finally you say, "I understand now." You kind of work through it with the Word and with prayer, and there's sort of a peace that settles in your soul and your heart and your mind, and you're not sad anymore. It's not because you've necessarily gotten your way. It's because you now have fellowship with God and understanding the problem the way you need to understand it. That's what happened with Hannah, and she too is going to have it answered in a good way. Comfort from God's message. One thing all of us love as children of God, I know you feel this way, you love to read the Word of God in your own private time. We do it here, And we do it in our Bible classes, but we don't do it as much as it needs to be done in your life. And if you're not taking care of that, then you're missing out on a great opportunity. Comfort yourself, strengthen yourself in the Word of God. And do not, let me emphasize, do not forsake the Old Testament. I know we're under the New Covenant, and I know it's important for us to be saturated with His teachings, but I'm telling you right now that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning and for an encouragement. And when you read, like we're doing today, some of those stories that are recorded there, I tell you, when you get through reading them, being a person of faith, you can't help but be uplifted and strengthened and encouraged no matter what you're going through. And a lot of times you begin reading in a place and you understand anyway in which that relates to what you're going through. But when you get through, God kind of opens your eyes and you're enlightened. You begin to understand how that might apply. Listen, comfort yourself. And reading the Word of God, do not forsake it. God has recorded these things for our benefit. I'll tell you one thing for sure. When God did answer her prayers, she did not forget that God answered her prayers. And you know how she kept it before the rest of her life? She named him Samuel. And you know what Samuel means? Samuel means God hears. God has heard my prayer. She would never forget that son that was left up at Shiloh, and she would never forget his name, and she would never forget what it means and what brought about that prayer. And she would remember that Samuel was an answer to my prayer. God heard me. God hears. You know, sometimes we forget about that. You go through life as a Christian, I don't know how many, decades, you've been a Christian. But think about all the prayers that you've prayed in your life. And I know it's true of me. I bet it's true of you too. That there's been some things that at that moment, many years ago, that you prayed about, that you kind of felt like Hannah, that you were desperate about, and you were very sincere and you brought before God's throne, and God answered that prayer. Sometimes in a very short period of time. I've had that happen. Sometimes over a long period of time. And I even had to look back and remember that God answered the prayer. But God did answer your prayer. And now since it's been so long ago, we kind of forget all the things that God has done for us. All the blessings and all the prayers that He's answered. Hannah would never forget this one. God hears. That's what I'm naming him. God hears. We need to be like that. You need it. And you see that in her song that's recorded in chapter 2, how thankful she is. And thankfulness, it keeps us right where we need to be with God and where we need to be in our humility before the throne, realizing what God has done for us. But then comes, of course, the title of the lesson. A promise kept. She was good to her word. Now you can imagine how she felt when she was barren. And she was being ridiculed and mocked. Like I said a few moments ago, when we're in a desperate situation, we go to God and we pray. And sometimes, in those prayers, we say, God, if you'll only answer this prayer, if you'll only give me what I'm petitioning you about, then I will fill in the blanks. And then the prayer is answered, sometimes much to our surprise, and we think, oh, did I say that? And God goes, yeah, you did. And we fail to keep the promise because we got what we want. But Hannah was not that way. Now, I want you to think about how difficult this was for her. She made a promise to give her son up at Shiloh. She wouldn't raise the boy. The boy would be raised up there, seeing him once a year. It was her first child, and as far as she knew, it would be the only child. She would never have another. She did, but she didn't know that. And she left him up there because in a desperate situation, she said, if you'll give me a child, he's yours. And she kept her promise. Now, maybe it's true of you. I don't know. Maybe it's true of you that you've been in desperate situations, you prayed to God, and you've never made a promise to God concerning that prayer. Maybe. Maybe that's true. But I'm guessing it's not. And I'm also guessing that each and every one of us as a Christian have stood up here before an audience like this and said, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And on that confession, with my faith and repentance in my heart, I'm going to be baptized into Christ. And when you're baptized into Christ, you are married to Christ. You're taking vows. Now, even using that terminology, I know a lot of people don't take that seriously today because marriage vows are not taken seriously for a lot of people. They're broken so easily. But God takes them seriously, and you stand before each other, and you stand before a minister or a judge or whoever, and you stand before Almighty God, and the Bible says that God is a witness between you and your partner. He is a witness about the covenant you just made to each other. You made a promise. And I'm expecting you to keep that promise. And when you break that promise, God takes note of that. But we also have vows, and we make a promise when we become a Christian. And we give our hearts to Christ. We need to keep it. She kept her word. I admire her so much for that. Many of you have business dealings all the time with people. And you've dealt with contracts with people. And you know the importance of getting the name on the dotted line. Because in a time in which we live, oftentimes a handshake, you might have lived like that in the past, but oftentimes today you know a handshake is not enough. Right? You need a signature on the dotted line. You need a contract. Now there are some people in your life that you can still trust like that. Whether they sign the contract or not, you know they're good for their word. And I'm sure many of you are just like that. You try to be like that. And thank God for that. I think that's part of our Christian character and Christian example and something that we ought to do to the very best of our ability. She kept her promise. What a thankful woman she was. That's when she just... Yeah, you do this today, and oftentimes in your life, she just burst out in song. And the song is recorded here in chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And the first thing that comes to your mind, I tried to read it several times and kind of break it down into categories and some of the things that she expresses in the song. But one of the things that first comes to mind is just overwhelming joy. She is just so happy and thrilled to death that God has answered her prayer. She has a son. And she's giving thanks to God. She's rejoicing. You mothers know, holding the baby in your arms. You mothers know, especially the joy that comes with that. I'm not leaving out daddies either. There's a great joy that comes to a family when that is the case. And she expresses that in the song. And then she does another thing, which I think shows great spiritual understanding, again, about God and her trust in Him, is she kind of describes God as the one who is the avenger. I find that interesting, considering all the abuse she went through, and she never became the avenger. She didn't take matters into her own hands to deal with the person who was her adversary. She just kept going to God and kept praying. She kept going to God and kept praying. She kept going up to the house of God, but she didn't take matters into her own hands and take vengeance for herself. And that's powerful faith. God finally worked it out, didn't He? We just don't give God enough time sometimes. We run our life and sometimes the lives of other people because we try to fix it our way. But she knew that God was the avenger. And she praises God for all His blessings and the way He lifts people up. And here was Hannah down at the kind of the lowest level there in Jewish society for a woman. And God took her and lifted her up. Not only gave her a son, but gave her a son who would become one of the greatest prophets in Old Testament history. I think she just beamed about that, don't you, as the years go by. Hannah. powerful example of these things. I can't leave this out because I know many of you women who have taught this story to children, you emphasize this, and I would emphasize it too. Every year she came up, every year to see. Can you imagine the anticipation as the months pass? Is it time to go up to Shiloh? It's time to go. I want to see that boy again. And she spent quite a bit of time, no doubt, making him a robe. And every year he'd get a new robe to wear. The more I think about this woman, the more I'm impressed. She was a woman of extreme kindness and love, wasn't she? She might have to give up the son there, to Shiloh, but she wasn't forgetting him. That boy was in her heart, and she would show kindness and love to him. And not only to the boy, don't you think that kind of stood out to the rest of the family and other people around? Look what Hannah's doing. Again, this year, she's bringing another robe. Listen, your deeds of kindness and love and concern, you may think they go unnoticed, but there's people that notice that. Don't forsake it. It's good to have a heart like the heart of Christ. It's good to have a heart like the heart of our God. It's powerful stuff. Oh, and when I end the lesson, I've got to say this. You know, they'd go up every year. And the way it reads anyway in the New American Standard Version is, oh, Eli, he would pray for her that God might bless them with more children, because you've given this child to the Lord. And God gives her 3 more sons and 2 daughters. Listen, I know it seems tough sometimes, but you can't outgive the Lord. It's not going to be done. Think of all the blessings that He's given us and all the things that He showers us with. When we give to the Lord, when we put into His interest in our life, spiritually, we're blessed more ways than what we can count. And sometimes we just don't realize it, but we need to count the blessings, don't we? Name them one by one. And that's besides, I just mentioned that, that's beside all the physical stuff that we get and that we're blessed with. We know where it comes from. But God is so good. He is the giver of all good gifts. And what we need to do is just keep on being like Hannah and keep on serving the Lord and keep on doing the right thing and enjoy all the blessings that God showers you with and be thankful to the Lord. Give up your song of praise like Hannah to God. There's someone here that needs to come today. I hope you'll come. Walk in the steps of Hannah, man or woman. She's a good example for all of us. Perhaps you've never confessed a good name. Why not come and be, as I said a few moments ago, into the bride of Christ and be married to the Lord, confessing Him, taking your vows, be baptized into Christ, and be faithful. Keep your promise. Be faithful to Him all the days of your life. If you need to come as we stand and as we sing.
Why keep Jesus waiting?
to number 870. We'll sing the first and last verse of 870, and we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the lost seas darkening this, and far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies a summer land of bliss, the land beyond, so fair and bright, the land beyond. This land of waiting, seeking and sighing, far beyond the sorrows darkening this, and far beyond the pain and sickness and dying, lies a summer land of bliss, land beyond.